journey. Message notes are available in the room and online. If you would like a printed copy, put your hand up right now and one of our hosts will be glad to serve you.
Good morning, everybody. How's everybody doing this morning? Who's excited to be in church this morning? Come on. Come on. I need some energy this morning. That's right. Wasn't worship incredible this morning? Come on. Who loved that? I know you might become complacent over the time, but this is not normal. We got an amazing worship team. My name's Frankie, if you don't know me. Sometimes I play bass. I snuck onto the team, and I get the opportunity to play beside all these really talented people. It's incredible. More so, I really want to just honor our pastors here in the house. It's Pastor Roy and Christina. They're incredible leaders. How long have we known each other? Decades at this point. There's been conversations that you and I have had that I would not be standing here today if you weren't in my life. You are a key pinnacle and pillar in my life, and I'm so grateful for your leadership in my life and the leadership that you're doing in this church and the leadership you hold in Cornwall. And Christina, you and I have had some wonderful conversations, and you truly hold up that mama bear status, and you take care of everyone in your circle and around you. And I just want to say I love you guys, and on behalf, what's that? Oh, there it is. I know. No, I'm kidding. But I just want to honor you guys. You guys are incredible, and thank you so much for everything you're doing in this church and for this city. Put your hands together for our pastor, our leader this morning. Come on. Well, I'm just going to open it up in a quick prayer, and then we're going to hit the ground running. I got lots of material running. My biggest worry is I'm keeping you here too long, and you're going to miss your brunch. So, Father God, thank you so much for meeting with us this morning. God, I just pray that hearts will be open today and ears will be open, Father, to receive everything you have. God, just continue to work in a way that only you can work. Reach those that are just longing for breakthrough in their lives, Father God. Expose your heart to those that need to understand you in a greater way this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. So how's everyone's summer so far? Going okay? Yeah. Who's anybody? Any campers in here? Who camps? Yeah. Anybody do like family camps, not like outback camping, but like they go to like an organized like type facility type. Yeah. I remember when I was a kid, I got sent to one. It's up in Pembroke. It was a kids camp. So my parents actually just abandoned me there. And I remember because where it was, I didn't know any of the kids because they're all Ottawa kids and they all knew each other from Sunday school and churches. And I knew nobody. But I remember I was tied to a team, a bunk, and they had games all day. And they would just nominate somebody from your team to represent your team in the game, and you'd win points. And at the end of the week, there's a big prize to be won, whichever team had the most points. And I got nominated to go up, and I was a shy kid, and I was like, you know what? I'm pretty competitive. And for as shy as I can be, when it comes to a game, I can get nasty. I'll come out of my shell just to win. I don't care. And I remember walking up to the platform when they nominated me, and I got up here, and I remember thinking to myself, I'm going to win this. I'm not going to be that shy kid that cost them the points, that cost them the game. I'm going to be that shy kid that brought it. I'm going to be that shy kid that dominated. I'm going to leave a legacy behind. I wanted that victory. I was hungry and I was thirsty for that win. And I remember when they brought out the game and they announced the game, he brings out a table full of this assortments of food. I'm like, okay, this is going somewhere I don't like because I was a picky eater. And he brought out blenders. And basically the game was, we're going to pull out three ingredients out of a hat. We're going to blend it together with milk. And then whoever drinks their concoction of a milkshake the fastest wins the points. And I was devastated, but my competitive side of my brain was like, I'm going to win this. I don't care. This is mine. So I remember pulling out of the hat. I put my hand in the hat, pull out. I'm like, molasses. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, I guess I can cope with that. The next one I pulled up my hand and pulled out, mustard sardines. I'm like, what? I'm a kid, right? I don't eat fish, but I'm like, mustard, isn't that two ingredients? That's cheating. And I put my hand back in, pull up the next one. I'm like, horseradish. And I'm like, horseradish? I was a kid. I didn't know what horseradish was. I'm like, but I don't like to eat horse, and I'm not going to eat a radish. And again, sounds like another two ingredients. So we're at like five ingredients in my mind. I'm like, how is this fair? Anyway, they blend it all up with milk. They hand it all to us. I'm holding my cup, and it's bubbling up. I swear there's an eye looking at me, a fish eye. and it's bubbling. It's like the movie Dune is in my drink, just looking at me like, ugh. But anyway, the camp counselor goes, 3, 2, 1, and with my instinct, because I was so hungry and I was so thirsty for that win, I just threw it back. I wasn't even thinking. And as I'm drinking, I just got holding this position the whole time, like rock star pose, and it's going down. And as it hits my stomach, my body's like, yeah, no, Frank, that's not going to work. And then my body's like, goodbye, and sends it up. And I'm like, I'm winning this. And so as I'm sending it down, it's going up, but it's going back down and coming back up. So it's got like this recycle effect. But I just powered through it. Oh, man. Sorry, I have some PTSD. Give me a second. And I put that thing back, and I remember slapping my cup down, and the camp counselor just stood at me like, oh, my gosh, he did it. And, like, all the other kids who had, like, I don't know, like, sprinkles and ice cream in their milkshakes were still going. And he's like, he just grabbed my hand and threw it up and said, we have a winner. And they gave out the points. The crowd's going wild. People are like, oh, my gosh, that's gross. But my team's losing their mind going, this kid's amazing. I got to know this kid from Cornwall. They're off the hook. And I was like, and he's like, hey, everybody, take your seats. I calmly walked off the stage. I did not take my seat. And I went right out the side door. I walked as far as I could, just as calmly as I could. Got to the first cabin. I don't know whose it was, but glad it wasn't mine. And my body's like, all right, Frank, now's the time. And it all just came. It all just came. But I won. I got my victory. I got my victory. And this leads me to the beatitude I'm going to be covering today. I'm going to segue a VOM story to a beatitude. I don't know how it happened. I don't know. It's a crazy day. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. And we started off with Dom presenting on blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. We moved on to Karen, blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. And then Pastor Roy last week spoke on blessed is the meek, for they will inherit the earth. And this week we're talking about hungering and thirsting for righteousness, for we will be filled. Now, I love this one. I immediately jumped on this when it became when it came up to who's going to do which beatitude. I was like, I got to have that one. But I really like the other translations. The ESV says, blessed are those who hunger and thirst, for they will be satisfied. Someone say satisfied. Come on. Amplified's even better. You want to know why it's better? Because it's amplified. And as a musician, we love amplifiers, right? So it says, blessed and fortunate and happy and spiritually prosperous. Come on, somebody. Honestly, like that? Are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be completely satisfied. Come on. That's not enough. That's like, oh, I'm good. I'm good. God takes care of me. I got everything I need. I have enough. No, completely satisfied in every aspect. Not just satisfied at work. Not just satisfied in your finances. Not just satisfied with your children. Not just satisfied with your marriage or home life, but completely satisfied in every which way. Come on. So this message, I want to dedicate it to those of us that are not satisfied, those of us that are fighting the good fight every single day, those of us that are just waiting for breakthrough in our lives, waiting for the breakthrough in the lives of our loved ones, those of us that are still waiting for promises to be fulfilled, those of us that do not want to do, we do what we don't want to do, and what we do is what we don't want to do, and what we want to do, we don't do. Oh, that always fumbles me, but Apostle Paul says it. Those of us that have cried out to God in private, longing for mountains to be moved. Those of us that have longed to see heaven on earth, and those that feel like we're knocking on heaven's door and no one seems to be answering. Those of us that have been striving and climbing and pushing and just working, trying to achieve something that we think we need to be satisfied. Today's message are for all of us that are unsatisfied. And when I get into this topic, it brings me to the book of Ecclesiastes. Have you ever read it? Who's read the book of Ecclesiastes? Yeah. So those of you that haven't, don't. Okay? No, I'm kidding. No, read your Bible, okay? Read it all. But if you're in like a mood, like if you're in like a real mood, you know, maybe wait. Or at least read the whole thing. So the book of Ecclesiastes, scholars, you can argue about this, but mostly it was written by King Solomon, the son of King David. You know, David and Goliath. Killed the giant, became king. Well, he had a kid named King Solomon. He had a dream where God asked him, I'll give you anything you want. And he asked for wisdom, which made him one of the wisest men that ever lived. He also wrote 2 out of the 3 books of wisdom in the Bible. That's Job, Proverbs, and Ecclesiastes. But it's a very depressing book. It's basically a buzzkill of a book. That's why I say don't watch in a mood. The book literally starts off with the term meaningless, right? If you listen, you read the King James Version, it uses the word hevel, which basically means vapor or smoke. Like it's here today, gone tomorrow. Whatever it is, it's gone. You go to grab it and you can't grab it. It's just not there. It's all meaningless. And King Solomon goes on to explain his sorrow and his unsatisfaction with his life. And in Ecclesiastes 1 verse 18 says, "For which much wisdom comes much sorrow. For the more knowledge, the more grief." You know, King Solomon had it all. He had all the wisdom. He was able to see big picture stuff. As the king over all of Israel, he saw his kingdom. He saw what was doing well, but more importantly, he saw what was not doing well. And it just broke his heart. He had it all as king as himself. He says in Ecclesiastes 2, verses 10 to 11, "I denied myself nothing my eyes desired. I refused my heart no pleasure. My heart took delight in all my labor, and this was the reward for my toil. Yet when I surveyed all that my hands had done and what I had toiled to achieve, everything was meaningless. A chasing after the wind. Nothing was gained under the sun." He goes on in chapter 2 to say, "So I hated life because the work that is done under the sun was grievous to me. All of it is meaningless. A chasing after the wind. I hated all the things I had toiled for under the sun because I must leave them to the one who comes after me." Basically, he's going to work his butt off for the next who knows how many years. He's going to build this. He's going to build that. A lot of what he did, King Solomon was very much like an architect. He did a lot of buildings. He built the temple in Jerusalem. He had all these achievements. But even he himself is saying, this is not satisfying me. There must be more. It's all meaningless. Ecclesiastes chapter 5 says, "Whoever loves money never has enough. Whoever loves wealth is never satisfied with their income. This too is meaningless. As goods increase, so do those who consume them." Basically, what he's saying is you want that Corvette in your driveway? You're going to work hard and earn that Corvette? Well, with a two-door red sports car, your insurance company is going to have a say on that. And then that's a more charge. Okay, well, now you're going to take that out for a rip. Well, you're not going to drive 50. It's a Corvette. You're going to open that thing up. So now you're burning fuel. So now you need to fill that tank. And then King Solomon was also a pretty big art collector, and he would buy all these fancy things to fill his palace with. And he goes on to say, "And what benefit are they to the owners except to feast their eyes on them?" That's all they are. Solomon is also known for having 700 wives and 300 concubines. You can't tell me that guy's not looking for something. Like, his first wife, I assume, he's like, you know, probably fell in love. This is awesome. And then he's like, I don't know. It's not really what I thought. I'm not really feeling satisfied. So I'm going to go for wife number two. It's not really working out. Let's try number three. Goes for three. I like to think by like wife 700, he was just like, I don't know. I might give up on this. I'll just go with concubines. This marriage thing is getting pretty expensive. Like, I don't know. But like this guy was clearly looking for something, and he was looking for it all in the wrong places. So this is why I say you should read Ecclesiastes right to the end, because it's pretty heavy. But in the last two verses of the last chapter of the book, he gives his final words of wisdom. In Ecclesiastes 12, 13 to 14, it says, "The last and final word is this, fear God, fear God." And I believe Pastor Roy spoke about this as well. This is not the type of fear that, you know, doesn't translate to our fear. Not like, well, be afraid of God. He's coming to get you. He's going to hit you with lightning. No, this means to revere God, worship God, honor him, hold him in the highest place. He is eternity. He is something that will never change. If anything, you need to fear God. And then he tells you exactly, this is his wisdom. Again, one of the wisest men ever. And then he says, where is it? Where is it? Do what he tells you. Second line right there. Period. Full stop. Fear God. Do what he tells you. And then he doubles down just in case he didn't get it. And that's it. Period. There it is. Okay. Eventually, God will bring everything. Eventually, God will bring everything that we do out into the open and judge it according to its hidden intent, whether it's good or evil. He really lays it out. This is the guy that had everything. And his only word of advice to you is to revere God. Any Friends fans in the house? Friends, you know, like Monica Chandler, all that. Yeah, don't be shy. Put your hand up. It's okay. If you're like, I don't watch that pagan stuff. No, I'm kidding. we would have it like on repeat in our house. Anyway, so Matthew Perry, who plays Chandler, unfortunately, he's passed away now, but he was interviewed, and in his interview, I want to quote him here. He said, I had the American dream happen to me. I got the great job. I was good at it. I had bought a house. The house had a pool. I was the American dream. I really, really loved it for about 6 months. And then I walked in my house and went, oh, man, this is not fixing this problem I have. And then he goes on to quote Jim Carrey. And he says, Jim Carrey did a really good quote. He said, I want everybody to get their dream, all their dreams come true, so that they could know that it's not the answer. See, and I have 2 points I want to touch on today. And my first point is that we aren't satisfied because we're filling up on the wrong things. Let me say it again. We're not satisfied because we're always filling up on the wrong things. And depending on what that is, you know, it can look like 100,000 different things for any individual. It could be addiction. It could be relationships. It could be social status. It could be, you know, us trying to gain reputation or clout. It could be money, chasing the next buck to be made. It could even be religion, in a sense. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 25 says that Moses chose to be mistreated along with the people of God rather than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. And these sin cycles that we allow into our life are exactly that, fleeting. They might be pleasurable in the moment. You might want to scratch that itch now, but we all know that it's going to be coming back and knocking on our door going, hey, it's time again. You're not satisfied again. And no matter what we do, there's nothing. They're always fleeting. Isaiah chapter 55, verse 1 to 2 says, the Lord says, all you who are thirsty, come and drink. Those of you who do not have money, come buy and eat. Come buy wine and milk without money and without cost. Why spend your money on something that is not real food? Why work for something that doesn't really satisfy you? Listen closely to me, and you will eat what is good. Your soul will enjoy the rich food that satisfies. Say satisfies. That's where we're going to be hanging out all day. How can we buy food when we have no money? What he's really saying here is that your hunger and your thirst is a currency. What he's saying, do you want it? Then come and get it. Do you need this? Do you want that? Let me show you. Let me show you my goodness. Come to me. Listen to me. I will give you milk. I'll give you wine. I'll give you the rich food that will satisfy your soul. That's what he's saying here. My second point that I'd like to make is that we aren't satisfied because we never experienced the goodness of God. I'll say it again. We aren't satisfied because we've never experienced the goodness of God. And I know for me, that cut deep. I know because I was a Christian for a long time, and I know for some of us that, I've been a Christian a long time, Frank. How can you say I've never experienced God? I've been coming to church for my whole life, and I've never experienced God. I'm like, well, you possibly never experienced God or the goodness of God. Psalm 34, verse 8 says, taste and see that the Lord is good. Blessed is the one who takes refuge in him. See, you need to try him to experience him. And I recently read a book by A.W. Tozer called The Pursuit of God. And he's an awesome author. He's very poetic in the way he words things. And when I read this in his book, it shook my world. He says, it is a solemn thing and no small scandal in the kingdom to see God's children starving while actually seated at the Father's table. That blew my mind. I didn't even know that was possible. How can we sit at God's table but yet still choose to starve? What he's saying here, it's exactly what he's saying here. We're sitting at the Father's table. We receive everything Jesus has done for us. We're invited to pull up a chair and dine with him, but yet we starve. We don't eat. We don't eat. We don't listen to him. We don't receive what he has for us. A quick story. When my mother was 10 years old, she struggled with ear infections her entire life. Her entire life, since she was born until she was 10 years old. She never hardly knew a day where she didn't have pain in her ears. And my grandparents were God-fearing Catholics, and they just loved their daughter so much that they were desperate. They were hungry and thirsty for a healing for her. And They brought her to all these ear specialists, and all the ear specialists all told her them the same thing. Unfortunately, I'm sorry, there's nothing we can do. She's probably going to be completely deaf by the time she's in her late 20s. You know, all we can do is medicate and just learn to live with this until that complete deafness happens. And they weren't satisfied with that. They were completely unsatisfied with that answer. They were desperate. And they had a hunger and thirst for and a desire for healing for their daughter. And they heard about an evangelical faith healer traveling, coming through town. And as good Catholics, they secretly brought her to this. That is what it is, people. They secretly brought her to this evangelical a service. And when they got there, they saw people worshiping with their hands in the air, people praying, laying out of hands. They saw people speaking in tongues, people being slain in the spirit. They saw it all. And they're like, this is weird. We haven't experienced this before. What is this? And my mom being 10, she's like, this is definitely weird, especially from a 10-year-old's perspective. But my mom remembers she went up to the altar and they laid hands on her and they prayed for her. And my mom felt a big gushing wind blowing all around her as they were praying over her. She didn't know what was going on. But they left that evening and my mom didn't get healed. But it was only a few days later when they heard of a new doctor moving to town who specializes in ears. What a coincidence. And they called up this doctor urgently, hoping they can get in, and conveniently, they got right in. And they went in to see this doctor, and the doctor looked in her ears, and they expected the doctor to say what every other doctor said. You know, this is really bad. Her ears are pretty screwed up. There's nothing we can do. We can just make her comfortable. She'll probably be deaf by the time she's in her late 20s. But no, the doctor looked in her ears and said, uh-huh, yeah, I can fix that. And my mom has her hearing today. Isn't that a miracle? But it was the hunger and thirst that my grandparents had led to my mother having an experience, which planted a hunger and thirst in her, who then my mother grew up, and she eventually started attending an evangelical church where she opened up the Bible for her first time, and she started reading it, and you know what she read in there? The Holy Spirit comes like a rushing wind. She had a memory of a little girl when she felt that wind. And in that moment, she realized that she experienced the Holy Spirit at that platform when she was 10 years old. And that put a deeper hunger and thirst in her. And because of her hunger and thirst, all of me and my siblings, we all follow Jesus now and put a hunger and thirst in us. Come on, somebody. Now, although I grew up in a Christian home, and I've been blessed to have all these great people in my life, there was still sin in my life. And I dealt with a lot of sin in my life, and I gave the enemy a lot of strongholds in my life, and I kept lying to myself and thinking, you know, one day I'll just deal with this, I'll deal with that. But it wasn't going to work that way, and I got to a point in 2017 where I was just broken. The weight of my sin was just burdening me down. I couldn't take it anymore, and I was even getting frustrated. I was turning this around on God rather than looking inwards. I was turning it around on God, and I was saying, God, where are you? God, I've been going. I was raised in a Christian home. I heard all the stories. I've been to Sunday school. I've been playing on worship teams since I could pick up a guitar. I hear about all these miraculous things you're doing, all these experiences that people are having. But I've been following you for how long? And where's my experience? I was frustrated at God, and as I said to him, I'm like, I have this sin in my life. When are you going to deal with it? And I felt him tell me, no, Frank, I've dealt with it on the cross. When are you going to deal with it now? And the conviction of that cut me deep. And because I had community around me, and at the time it was my brother, and me and my brother are very close. If you don't have somebody that you can open up to and just talk real with, you need to get that person. And I called him up because I said, okay, well, I'm going to do this, God. I'm going to try to taste and see you. But this needs to work out. I'm going out on a limb here. So I opened up to my brother and said, hey, this is some of the stuff I've been struggling with, and I don't know how to deal with this, and I'm just losing my head here. I'm about to walk away. I need God to do something. And the Holy Spirit used my brother, and he gave me advice, and we talked it out, and he was there for me. And he laid out steps for me. He's like, hey, this is kind of what you need to do. And there was people in my life that my sin greatly affected. And I needed to come clean with some of this stuff. And I needed to go and confess and apologize to people in my life. And that was a scary thing. But I remember feeling, okay, I got to do this no matter what. But it was still scary. And one day I was getting out of the shower and I had music playing on the speaker. And as I was getting out of the shower, I wrapped a towel around myself and the song changed. And it was Your Love Never Fails. And as I was leaving the washroom, the lyric in the song says, I know I still make mistakes, but you have new mercies for me every day. Your love never fails. And the second I heard that lyric, I lost all strength in my legs, and I hit the ground. As I laid there or kneeled there, my forehead was pressed into the ground. I had no strength at all. The weight of everything that I was that I had allowed to build up, the lies that the enemy was telling me, the lies, the position I put myself in, just weighed down on me and crushed me. And I could barely speak, but I had the thought, I'm like, I need to call out to Jesus. There's no way I can do this by myself. I don't know what's happening right now, but I need to call out to Jesus. And I could barely even say anything, but I remember trying my hardest and pushing and pushing, and I finally got the word out, help. I just said, help. And I swear there was all of a sudden, just like that, a presence entered the space. Not just like, ooh, I felt some tingling. No, like I felt like literally somebody just walked into the room. There was a physical presence in the room with my forehead pressed to the floor and my knees. I felt as I shivered there on the hardwood floor. I also felt like as if someone took a bed sheet straight out of the dryer and just laid it on top of me. And a warmth came over me. I swear I could feel the material rubbing on my shoulders. And I knew what was happening. I said, oh my goodness, this is it. He's here. I'm about to grovel at his feet. I'm about to grovel at the feet of Jesus and beg for him to get me through this. And to have mercy on me. But that's not what happened. I sensed his presence came next to me. And he got down on his knees next to me. With his arms wrapped around me, he cried with me. It was incredible. That's the God that I serve. And I went my whole life thinking I knew God. I knew the stories. I knew what he desired. But in that very moment, my experience with God, I experienced his goodness, and I got to know God in an even greater way. And it changed my life forever. A.W. Tozer quotes in the Pursuit of God in his book, he says, To have found God and to still pursue him is the soul's paradox of love. What he's saying here is to know God is to know there's always more to know. We'll never know how deep his love goes. We'll never know how wide his love goes. To truly know God is to fully embrace that you'll never fully know him, that there's always more of him to know. So we've been talking a lot about righteousness, to hunger and thirst for righteousness. What is righteousness? Well, righteousness is, to put very simply, it's right standing with God. Romans chapter 1, verse 17 says, the good news shows how God makes people right with himself. Romans chapter 1, verse 17. Basically, the good news is John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, right? We know that one, right? Romans chapter 3, verse 25 says, we are made right with God when we believe that Jesus shed his blood, sacrificing his life for us. Romans chapter 5 says, and since we have been made right in God's sight by the blood of Christ, he will certainly save us from God's condemnation. For since our friendship with God was restored by the death of his son, while we were still his enemies, we will certainly be saved through the life of his son. So now we can rejoice in our wonderful new relationship with God, because our Lord Jesus Christ has made us friends of God. Friends of God. We're not just his mindless worker bees, his slaves, where he sits way up there and we're down here and we're just a number. No, we are friends with God. You know that friend you have, you know, you call them up when, you know, something crazy happens, or that friend you call, you know, because, you know, something happened and you just need someone to talk to and vent about and work things out. Or that friend you talk to because you have, you know, something happened and you just want to, like, you have all those inside stories, you know, that you probably shouldn't share with anybody else, but they're that one person that you can connect with. They have that tight relationship. Or that friend where you're angry at and you just want to call and you just want to lean into them and let them know how you're feeling. You know, he wants to be that friend. We're in a relationship with your creator. We are friends of God. And I like to say it this way. You can't sit by a campfire without smelling like smoke, right? Anybody do that? You go camping, no matter where you seem to sit, when you go back home, you're like, oh, like I can't get this out, you know? I shouldn't have wore this hoodie. I was planning to wear this tomorrow. But you can't sit next to a campfire without smelling like smoke. Like, you can't sit next to God or be in relationship with God or rub shoulders with God without letting him rub off on you. But we can't be naive. We can't be naive about this. It's all great, but there is an enemy, and it's the devil. I know sometimes it seems like taboo to talk about on a Sunday morning, but there's a devil out there, and he's prowling around like a roaring lion, seeking who he can devour. He knows we hunger and thirst. He just wants to divert your hunger and thirst. He wants you to lead to the things that don't matter. He wants to lead you to things that are meaningless. He wants to distract you. He wants to lie to you. Proverbs 14, verse 12 says, there is a way that appears to be right, but in the end it leads to death. Ways that appear right, but lead to death. What are those? Those are probably the things that seem right in the moment. They feel good in the moment. They're probably those fleeting, pleasurable sins that we have. Like, what if we start denying ourselves some of these sinful pleasures? What if we start denying, what if we have that next business deal and we feel the Holy Spirit, hey, I need you to be more charitable and give a donation here or give a donation there. But you're like, oh, but I got this big investment I want to do and I need that money, I can't have that money tied up in giving. What if we denied ourselves that business opportunity and we pursued what God's telling us instead? Or what if we, instead of jumping from one breakup to the next breakup, trying to fill that void in our life with the next stranger, this relationship didn't satisfy me, so I'm going to go to that relationship over there. What if we denied ourselves the pleasures of hooking up with another stranger and we filled that void with pursuing God instead? Would our life be better or our life be worse? What if we, we live in a culture and a generation right now where people don't even know who they are. They don't even know their own identity. Not only do they not know who they are, they don't know what they are, unfortunately, some of them. But what if we took what culture tries to teach and put on us, we took all of what culture's trying to push on us, and we replaced that with what God says about us, and he says, before you knew me, I knit you together in your mother's womb. You are beautifully and wonderfully made. You are a child of God. I made you in my image, male and female, I made you. What if we start replacing and denying ourselves? What if we seek first his kingdom before anything else? Come on, somebody. What if we seek first his kingdom before anything else and we let him take care of everything else? Come on. Like, would our lives be better or worse? I believe they'd be much better. Proverbs chapter 12, verse 28 says, in the way of righteousness, AKA desiring what God desires, pursuing him, in the way of righteousness, there is life. Along that path is immortality. I got one more story for you. And Pastor Roy kind of broke the ice with it. So I really think the Holy Spirit's up to something this morning. One day there was a Samaritan woman sitting at a well, and Jesus alone approached her, and he said to her, woman, can you draw me some water? And she looked at him because she's Samaritan, he was Jew, and she said, well, you're Jewish. Why are you even talking to me? You shouldn't be talking to me. You want nothing to do with me. That's a cultural thing. What are you even talking to me for? And Jesus turns around and says to her, if you knew who's asking you for a drink of water, you'd be turning around and you'd be asking me for water, and I would give you living water. And she's shocked by all this. And she goes, well, you don't even have a bucket to draw water with. And what are you talking about, living water? Are you saying your water is better than the water that we have here? My ancestor Jacob gave us this well, and this well satisfies my whole village. Are you saying you're better than my ancestor Jacob? And Jesus says, well, the water in this well, when you drink it, you're going to get thirsty again. But the water I'm going to give you is going to be living water, and it's going to spring up inside of you to eternal life. And she says, okay, well, I want this water. I'm tired of walking up here every day, and you're saying you can give me an unlimited supply of water. It would save me a lot of trips. Give me this water. And Jesus says, okay, well, first go get your husband. And she says, I don't have a husband. And he goes, you're right. In fact, you have five husbands. And the man you're living with right now, he's not your husband. And now she's freaked out. Now she's like, okay, this guy, he knows some stuff. He must be a holy man. He must be a prophet of some sort. So she immediately gets defensive and aggressive with him because now she snaps back at him. She goes, well, you're a Jew, and you Jews say I can't go worship in the temple, and the temple is the only place that I can connect with God. So how am I, a Samaritan woman, supposed to connect with my creator when you won't even let me near the place? Heartbreaking. And Jesus says to her, there's a time that is coming and is here now when the true worshipers won't worship here or in the temple, but they're going to worship in spirit and in truth. And then you see her heart soften. And she says, well, I'm not really educated, again, because I can't get to the temple to be taught. But what I do know is that there's a Messiah and he is coming. And when he comes, he's going to explain everything to us and he's going to save us. And Jesus says to her, you don't have to wait any longer or look any further. I, the one who am speaking to you, I am him. And that's what I want to present with you this morning. For those that have been chasing things that have just been unsatisfying, those that have just been wondering, God, where are you in the midst of all this? God, every time I enter into this cycle, I always come right back around, and I'm wondering, when are you going to pull me out of it? I'm so unsatisfied. And Jesus is presenting himself to you this morning. And if you've never given yourself the opportunity to receive Jesus, he wants to tell you this morning, you don't have to look any further or wait any longer. I am here right now. This is your opportunity. With every head bowed and every eye closed, I just want to extend an invitation. Today could be your day. Today is your day to receive that living water that Jesus offers, to fully satisfy your hunger, satisfy your thirst. But there's always more love and more goodness of God to experience, always. And if you've never given yourself your opportunity to receive that, I'm just going to ask you to raise your hand in the count of three, just so I can identify you, because I want to say a prayer for you. And we'll all say the prayer together. One, two, three. Just begin to raise your hand if that's you, if you want to receive his living water this morning. Thank you. I see you in the back. Thank you. One more moment. All right, let's put our hands together for those that raised their hands. That's awesome. It's incredible. Woo. Now, as a community, as a family here, let's all say this prayer together to encourage those that have raised their hands this morning. I'll do it in unison with them. Say, repeat after me, Jesus. Forgive me for my sins. I lay them at your feet. I receive your living water. Be my friend. And my Lord. Today I give you my life. And enter into relationship with you. Speak to me. Lead me. Show me your desire for my life. I take refuge in you. Amen. Amen. Awesome. Those that said that for the first time, you just made the best decision of your life. Please, please, please do not leave without connecting with someone in the black shirts with the H on them. We have a small present for you, a gift for you. There's a Bible in there as well, just to get you on the right path as you begin this relationship with Jesus. Worship team, why don't you let us worship a little bit longer?
You will be there. Come on, would you stand with us? You will be filled. This is the kingdom. This is the kingdom. This is the kingdom of heaven. Ask and he will. Ask and he will. This is the kingdom. This is the kingdom. This is the kingdom of heaven. Seek first the kingdom, and all will be added. Seek first the kingdom, and all will be added. Seek first the kingdom, and all will be added. All will be added. All will be added. Seek first the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom. thank you for such an amazing word. Father, we shall inherit the kingdom of heaven, God. Father, I thank you just for being here this morning with us. And Father, for every head in this auditorium, God, that you will rest on them this week, Father. As they go about their daily duties and their daily activities, God, you will meet them where they are throughout the week. Father, I pray a blessing on each and every person, God. As we leave here this morning and we go on our way, God, that you will protect us all until next week, God, and bring us back. We love you, Jesus. All that you do and all that you are. In your name we pray, amen. Be blessed, Harvest. It's a great day. Go about your week and just remember we love you. Have a great week.